Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo and it's a pleasure to introduce Rowan Graham. Hi Rowan.
Hi Jo, you're too kind.
Okay, so we've got Rowan on for a couple of reasons, but one of them is to do with supermarkets and the way that visually impaired people and people with other disabilities are being affected by the lockdown. But first off, I thought it would be nice to just find a little bit out about Rowan. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Rowan?
Okay, thank you, Jo, for asking me to do this. I've not really done much in this way before. But yeah, my name is Rowan. I grew up in Kent. Been visually impaired all my life. I was born totally blind due to rubella syndrome, but due to various surgeries, was given a little bit of eyesight. I am classed as legally blind because I have very, very limited field of vision. And out of the little bit of sight I do have, I have no real spatial awareness of depth or depth perception. So steps can be like pretty lined in the pavement, and I don't know if you're standing right next to me or if there's any gap between me and you. So I grew up in Kent before, mainly in integrated education, before going on to the Royal National College for the Blind in Hereford in 1988.
Okay, so that's where we met, isn't it, at RNC in Hereford, back in the day?
Yeah, we did, when we were youngsters in our late teens.
I know. So you went on to do your A-levels and then you went on to university, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, yeah. But at college you met who Glenn, who is now your hubby.
I did. We met in something called recreation, where if you were first years, you had to do some kind of weekly exercise, and I happened to have piano lessons before this, which ate into that time slot, so I ended up only having recreation for about a half an hour. But it was with Peter Weld, his name was, I remember him well, but he would be old now if he's alive, bless him. And Glenn was, because I was always late, Glenn was encouraged to help me round and show me what was going on and to stay on with me for 5 or so minutes after everybody else went. Well, unbeknownst to me, Glenn was secretly getting into under my skin. He says it was love at first sight. I took 8 months to come to that realization as well.
Oh.
And so we spent the next several years dating long after RNC, and then we fell out for a little bit. So there was about 5 or 6 years in the middle where we had nothing to do with each other. Then 20 years ago this year, my mother, neither of us, unbeknownst to each other, neither of us had ever got involved with anyone else. There might have been other opportunities to get involved with other people, but neither of us had bitten the cherry. But my mother used to lament, whatever happened to Glenn? And it was a friend of mine who read his name in a guide dog magazine and had read that he had just qualified for his first guide dog, and he was now working as a Baptist minister in Devon. And I said, well, it must be the same one, because he took his faith very seriously, so that part doesn't surprise me in the least. So my mother said, look, have you got any old numbers for his family? I stupidly gave her one for his parents. And the rest is history. Through that number, my mother tracked his parents down, and they phoned Glenn and said, oh, that Rowan is trying to get hold of you, son. You don't want to know her. sort of thing. Something like that. I can't do it, but I did something like that. Just take my advice, son. Run for the hills. Don't bother. Well, minutes later, he was on the phone to me, and we chatted for 2 or 3 hours that first night. And Glenn says he's saying in the background here, he never, ever did as he's told. That is true. So we've chatted every night after that, and the rest is history. We've all been married 17 years next month.
Oh, congratulations, both of you. So what's it like being the wife of a Baptist minister?
It's a very interesting, actually, because you can step back a little bit from the religion, but you also get to be the good side of being a Christian, where you help other people, you come into contact with all sorts of people from all walks of life, and it is a pleasure to be able to help people where you can and be there for them for whatever reason. And sometimes as a man, Glenn can't go in, and it's easier for a woman to go in,
yeah,
and do things. And that was particularly the case where we lived in the place where we lived before, in an inner city setup.
So you spoke about Glenn being a guide dog owner, but you're a guide dog owner as well, aren't you? And you are a real animal lover as well, aren't you?
Yes. I've got a guide dog myself, mainly from the spatial awareness and depth perception angle. Although what little eyesight I do have is very limited. But yes, so I've got a guide dog. I took a while to accept the fact that maybe a guide dog would help my life. But Liz Orme in Exeter Guide Dogs said, Rowan, she really could benefit you. Because I felt I'd be taking a guide dog away from somebody else who might need it. But it was the most amazing experience when I started training with Kate. She's about to come up for retirement. In fact, she should have retired over this lockdown period. She's 10 next week. I still was unsure till about 3 days into the training, and then we did the police obstacle course. And I could see enough to see there was all these coloured things ahead, which I assume must have been the obstacles, although I couldn't see them as obstacles. I assume they were, and I just freaked, and I thought, oh my goodness, how am we going to get round that? What is that? You know, how are we going to get round that? Anyway, within about 20 seconds, they were saying, Rowan, you're through. I'm through. He said, you're actually through. You've done it. And I'm like, you're right. The colour blobs have gone.
Yeah.
And I looked, I leant down and patting my dog, and I was like, that was just like the most, I'm not exaggerating when I say it was the most amazing experience of my life. I just can't begin to tell you because being able to see a little bit sometimes is confusing. I'm grateful for everything I have, don't get me wrong, I really am, but it can sometimes be very confusing because it confuses you at what you're, and one of my big problems is not knowing how to get around things or working out how to get around things. So the fact this little dog just got me round and I hadn't even blinked my eyes was like, whoa. I can't describe.
That's lovely. Yeah, that's great. So, speaking of the help that we get from our dogs and things like that, and speaking of the fact that Kate was due to retire during this period of time, you have other health issues, don't you? And you are both obviously visually impaired. We all got put into lockdown, and of course, as visually impaired people, that makes life increasingly difficult because you can't get the support that perhaps you sometimes need. And you and Glenn were very aware of the fact that supermarket shopping, online shopping was very restricted. In fact, with quite a lot of the supermarkets, you have to be on the government extremely vulnerable list, which is quite narrow and certainly doesn't include people with a visual impairment at present. So do you want to tell us what you did?
Becoming aware that there were so many vulnerable people, and we were okay because we were always ahead of things, and we knew we would be all right for at least 2 to 4 weeks, and we knew we had people at the moment who could drop perishable things on the doorstep for us, but they are key workers. What if anything did happen to them, and they're helping many others? We got us thinking, okay, we might be okay right now, but what about those who aren't? What about those who have nobody? What about the blind who are living on their own? What about those with chronically ill children who are too ill to go out, but yet they don't their parents don't qualify for this restricted list? So I did bring up the RNIB, and they said they were aware of the problem and they were working with the government, but that's where, as far as it had got at the moment, or they're hoping to work with the government. This would have been about 2 weeks ago now, probably.
Yeah.
I came off the phone and I said to my husband, I said to Glenn, well, the guide dog, the RNIB are aware of it, so they are getting lots of calls and things about this. This isn't enough. We need to do something here. We need to do something to back them up, back whatever they're trying to do up. So I'd never done anything like this before in my life. We went on the change.org website. Glenn did have an account with them. So, and through his account, we set up a petition. At the very least, not necessarily expecting the petition itself to do anything, but for it to grab attention and maybe support whatever RNIB and other charities were doing. And while we were coming from the blind angle, we were acutely aware from our own parishioners and things that it wasn't just blind. It was even elderly in some cases. It was even the and people with ill children and people with mental health and all sorts of people involved here, not just the blind, but blind is what we understood. So that's what we did. We went and set this petition up. 3 days later, the BBC, RNIB confirmed to the BBC that everything we were saying is true, because in fairness, a local Southwest fella in touch that very first evening and said as soon as he was in the office on Monday, he would look at it again. So the BBC confirmed, RNIB confirmed to the BBC, that's my phone yakking, I apologise, confirmed everything we'd said was true, that the blind were being left off this extremely vulnerable list, even though they couldn't get around the supermarket without somebody helping them, and now couldn't get the slots. And then I believe on that very day the RNIB launched their own petition, which is great, because that helps. That is, every little helps, and that is going to help the blind angle and visually impaired angle, I should say, visually impaired angle. And it's just gone from there.
So how many signatures are on your petition up to date, do you know?
Well, considering we're only a little small thing, probably in the grand scheme of things, not very many, but it's probably getting up to 2,700. Thankfully, the RNIB one came online, and of course, they've got the scope that we don't have. And so that did come on stream. So naturally, I think visually impaired people, and we are encouraging visually impaired people to go in that direction as well, because obviously coming from charities, big known charities, it's going to get further. But I do ask for any of your listeners out there, please do go and sign ours as well if you haven't, because there are so many other people affected by this who cannot go shopping for themselves, either because they're chronically ill, severely disabled, etc. And this is the whole list of reasons why. And we know the government can't help everybody all at once, but it's just a little nag to remind them, we're here. These people are here. They need your help when you can.
Yeah, yeah. And people are signing up to be NHS responders, but of course, so many people have come out and signed up that it's taken them a long time to verify everybody's identity. And there are community groups and things, but it's getting all that sorted, isn't it, of course? And people are struggling to get online shopping when actually, and having to go out of their homes when they really shouldn't be doing so. That's incredible, the amount of signatures you've got. You say it's only small, but it's a step in the right direction, isn't it? And it's drawing attention to things as well.
And it supports the RNIBs through the back door. At some future point, we will hand those signatures and names and all the comments over to the RNIB to do what they feel, because we are in dialogue with the RNIB. So we are in dialogue with them, so they will get whatever they only need to request it. That information is theirs. My dogs are just asking to go out, so that's the commotion you can hear.
We can hear the bells.
So it is incredible, considering we don't have a clue what we're doing. We are encouraging people to go sign. We're getting possibly a lot of people who don't have a vision background either signing it, going by the comments. We did actually, I've seen a former worker of RNC has signed it. I'm absolutely certain it is her by the name and the comment left. So that was nice.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. And like you say, it's working together, isn't it? The big charities can reach a lot further, but actually the fact that you're not isolating yourselves, you're working with them and you're happy to have dialogue with them, which is great. And
to them, because theirs obviously is the louder voice.
Yeah, yeah. And people are being encouraged to write to their MP as well, which you can do online. You can search, if you don't know who your MP is, you can search for who that is. You won't necessarily get a quick response. I certainly didn't.
Did you get one then?
No response.
I'm not holding any hope out for mine, to be honest. I really am not.
No. But if we all pull together, like Rowan said, we all pull in the same direction, and we all, keep talking about it and keep shouting about it, because like Rowan said, and rightly so, there are people in wheelchairs, there are people who perhaps have broken their leg even, or a broken hip, and just don't have that support. You don't always have family in today's society. You don't always have family living in the same area, do you?
And your family might be over 70,
exactly,
etc. And just as vulnerable, more vulnerable than you. But it's interesting you said about people and wheelchairs, etc. I think, I can't remember if you said it live or we said it earlier, about people with broken legs and things. It's interesting, some of the comments are from people who, they've got a visual impairment or they've got a disability. They've relied always on their partner to drive them to the supermarket, and their partner's gone and broken their leg or something, currently can't drive. So people who would normally be okay are not okay. And it's an important message. We really do need to help these individuals who are not being listened to, and the more we get on to our MPs, even if they are not quick to act, the more people do that and the more people sign these petitions and make a public noise, the more they'll eventually have to listen.
Great. Well, thank you ever so much, Rowan, for taking the time to chat with me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Jo. It's a pleasure to chat with you.
And this interview will go up on, obviously, on our Audio Boom channel on Twitter and on the Facebook group. So what I will do for anybody listening, I will tag Rowan in this post so that she can put the link to the petition within that post. So if you do want to sign, and hopefully you will, or even share it, then you can do so from the link in the various posts.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.